And that, in the long term, had very important impact in the whole structure of civilizations and powers in this new order. Iron is far more plentiful. It's easily worked once you know how to forge it. And the image of Hephaestus hammering away, hammering out the impurities, when you forge iron, because you can't bring it up to the temperature to purify it in these ancient kilns, you can produce many more weapons, a lot more armor, a lot more cheaply. And in time, that meant you could arm larger numbers of men. Bronze was a rather expensive alloy to create. Bronze would still be used in warfare, but it required tin and copper. And tin is a very rare commodity and difficult to obtain. And so the spread of iron working technology, and the Hittites may have been among the first to work it, was really as a substitute for the fact that you didn't have sufficient tin in order to create the bronze weapons. Well, once iron becomes widespread, that fact favors regions that have natural iron ore deposits. That will include Greece and Asia Minor. It will include Syria. It will include Iran. And in Africa, the Kingdom of Nubia. So that the older civilizations in Egypt and Mesopotamia are actually at a disadvantage because they don't have that readily worked metal. And it will lead to a shift in the political structure of the early Iron Age. In addition, I mentioned that chariots were out, horses, cavalry came in. Cavalry and chariots were still used simultaneously well into the classical age. Chariots are really rather easy to neutralize. If a team of four horses come charging out at you with properly trained light infantry who can fan out and attack the horses, usually shoot a horse, generally causes a chariot wreck or crack up. Alexander the Great was quite good at doing that against his opponents. Cavalry, on the other hand, was a more difficult arm to develop. It required a rider, and you have to remember in the ancient world there are no stirrups. So it's a pretty dicey job riding on a horse without stirrups and a rather simple saddle. It's essentially bareback. You can't go charging off in something like a Napoleonic cavalry charge or even like the Wild West without stirrups. You can only trot up and jab with your sword or spear. It's a far more restricted arm than you would think from what you may envision a cavalry charge would be like in the ancient world. Furthermore, you need a certain type of horse to be bred to create that cavalry, and those horses were in Asia Minor and Iran, and the Persians, the people of Asia Minor, are among the first to move to cavalry, and cavalry is far less expensive. You only need one horse and one rider, as opposed to the team of three, the chariot, and all the technology to support it. So it's still an expensive arm, but one that is much more flexible and easier to mount. And as I mentioned again, that there was a shift in the use of writing systems to an alphabetic system, which was devised by the Phoenicians really as an act of laziness. The Phoenicians just didn't want to learn the cumbersome writing system. They figured out if they used a set of symbols that gave the consonants, that would be more than sufficient for keeping records. So these changes characterize the early Iron Age and are important marks indicating that there have been major departures from that earlier Bronze Age. Now, what about the civilizations that emerged in Asia Minor, the new players, so to speak, the civilizations that followed in the wake of the Hittite Empire and related kingdoms of the Hittite Empire? Well, as I mentioned several lectures ago, the Hittite Empire didn't so much collapse as fragment. In what is now southeastern Turkey and in northern Syria, parts of northern Iraq, the Hittite legacy endured. A series of kingdoms claiming some type of political descent from the old royal family at Hattusas continued to rule. They ruled at the city of Carchemish on the Euphrates, at Hamath in central, in northern Syria today. It's actually part of Turkey, but really geographically part of northern Syria. And a number of lesser sites. One of the best ones is a site called Kara Tepe. And there you would encounter cities that had palace temple complexes that looked very much like what probably Hattusas presented to the visitor at the height in the late Bronze Age. You get magnificent relief sculpture tied with inscriptions now, very hieratic figures and processionals. Many of them are now on display in the Ankara Museum. Some of them are in situ, particularly at Kara Tepe. And a lot of these relief programs and a lot of these palace complexes are actually built with recycled material from the late Imperial Age, from the late Bronze Age.